Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Samachay. We're learning today L'Ilui Nishmas Alan R. Grossman, Aaron Rafael Ben Yehuda Leib. All the Neshamas we learn for should have an Aliyah from our learning. We continue to learn for the safety of Tzal, for the success of their all the operations, bringing back the Chatufim, the Mehera. All of them who need Rafua Shleimah should have one, and they should be shalom all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, we pick up in the Gemara on Daf Samachay Omer Aleph, a little bit more than halfway down with the new Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Mar bin al haschar. Rashi explains, Ischar hamtonas mos haschiris. A person, this is the whole Isser of Ribbis, is not allowed to be paid more money because he's waiting to get his money. So when Reuven gives Shimon a loan, so if he's waiting to get back his money more than what he gave, that's called hamtonas mos. We'll see this is also known in the Gemara as agar notar. You're getting more money because you're waiting. Hamtanas mos, you're waiting to get your money. You're not allowed to take more. That is the is of ribis the araisa. So the Mishnah is telling us that if you are marben al haschar, if you're going to get more money for a rental, in other words, instead of being paid right now for the rental, you'll take a larger sum at the end of the rental period of time, which the Mishnah will explain in a moment. So then you are permitted to do this. However, the ein marbin al mecher, but if you're selling something, so then you're not allowed to do this. So obviously, the difference between selling and renting needs to be explained, which we will in the Gemara, but I'll try to allude to it right now so we can understand the Mishnah. So again, the words of the Mishnah said you can go and take more money later on. So you're doing the rental today, but you're going to get paid. If you got paid today, it would cost you 10. But if you're going to get paid at the end of the rental period, you're entitled to take 12. As opposed to, if you're selling something, the ein marben al mecher, as opposed to, you can't say, well, if you buy it from me now, so then it's 10, but if you pay me only later on, then it's 12. Now, what are the exact cases? Ketzad. So, hiskir lo es chaveiro. If Reuven is renting his chotzer to his friend, Reuven is renting the chotzer to Shimon, hiskir lo es chaveiro, the omalo, and Reuven says to Shimon, who is renting this chotzer, if you pay me now, it may achshavata no li, so then I'll give it to you at a rate of 10. Harehu l'cho be'eser sloim lashana. I'll let you rent it out for the 12 months for a total of 10 sloim. But, im shel chodesh b'chodesh, but if you're going to pay me month by month, so then you're going to have to pay a full selah for each chodesh, selah l'chodesh, which would be a total of 12 for the year. So this, the Mishnah tells us, mutter is permissible, even though it seems to be a problem of hamtonas hamos. If I wait till the end of the rental period of time, so then I would get 12. But if you give it to me right now, then I would get 10. So why isn't this hamtonas hamos? So the Mishnah will explain, because technically the money is not due. A rental is only due at the end. So, schiras eino mishtalemes elabasof. So, technically, the person doesn't owe you any money until after the conclusion of the 12 months. So, therefore, when he's paying you 12 at the end of the 12 months, so then that is the right amount that he's supposed to pay you. However, if you're giving him a discount, if he pays you now, that's not called a ribis, that's called a discount. You're actually taking less than you're supposed to get. You're only entitled to get paid at the end of the rental period of time. And therefore, by your saying, I'll give you a discount if you pay me now, that's not ribis. That's the opposite of ribis, and that's mutter. As opposed to, if you're selling, morchalo es sadeyu, if you sell somebody your field, the Mefarshim on the Mishnayis bring down, it uses the chotzer because it was more common to rent the chotzer, and it was less common to go and rent the field. You would sell the field. So therefore, that's why it uses the example of schira by a chotzer and mechira by a sadeh, but the same din applies. It's nothing to do with the chotzer, nothing to do with the sadeh. It has to do which is more likely to occur or not. But the same dinim applied by schira, whether it's a chotzer or a sadeh, and the same deal applies by mechira, whether it's a chotzer or a sadeh. In any event, in regards to a sale, marchalo es sadeyu, if Reuven sells Shimon his field, and he tells him, Reuven says to Shimon, marmalo, in the achshavatano sinli, if you pay me right now for the field, then it's going to cost you 1,000 zuz. Harei hi shalacha b'elev zuz. I'll charge you 1,000. However, in Lagorin, if we're going to wait till a later period of time, until the harvesting season, when everything is placed into the Gorin, so then it's going to cost you more. It's going to cost you Bishneim Asamon. It's going to cost you 1,200 zuz. So money is 100 zuz, so it's going to be Shneim Asamon. 12 times 100 is 1,200 zuz. So that, the Mishnah tells us, is Aser. And the Gemara will explain. The reason for that is because, as opposed to a rental which is due at the end, Schirus rental, Einu Mishtalem Esel Besov, as opposed to a sale, is right now. And therefore, he owes him the money right now. So he's supposed to pay him $1,000 right now. If you say, however, you don't have to pay me until the Gorin, until a later point in time, so then this is Hamtonas Mos. I'm waiting to get paid. And therefore, if you pay me $1,200 then, that is Ribbis. Okay, so we explained the Mishnah outside, and now we'll go and see the exact same explanation again inside. So if you missed it the first time, don't worry, you got another chance to hear it now. So the Gemara asked the obvious question, what is the difference between a rental and a sale? Maishna Reisha, which we said was permissible with a rental, or Maishna Seifa, which is a sale, and we said it's not permissible to go and take a larger amount of money at the end than a smaller amount of money at the beginning. Why is the case of the sale ribbis, and the case of the rental is not ribbis? So the Gemara tells us, Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, both these two great Talmidei Chacham and these great Amoraim, Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, they both say the same Teretz, the Amrei Tavayu, they both said, in regards to a rental, schirus, when is the rental payment due? Einu mishtalemes ela besof. So if you're renting it out for 12 months, so the rent is only technically due at the end of the rental period of time. So therefore, if you're charging a seller per month, so at the end of 12 months, you owe 12 slayim. And therefore, it's not ribbis if you take those 12 slayim. What you're saying here is if you pay me now, I'm going to discount that 12 and only make you pay 10. So therefore, this is not hamtonas mos. This is not waiting to get your money. This is giving a discount by getting the money earlier. So since schirus einu mishtalem esel besof, you only really owe the 12 slime at the end, the high kivon de lo mota zimne lemigba, since it's not yet time right at the beginning to go and collect the rental, therefore, he doesn't owe you any money right now. He only owes you 12 at the end, the 12 slime at the end. And lav agar notarle, here's the expression of agar notar. You're waiting to get your money. So therefore, you're not waiting to get your money. The money isn't due. And therefore, this is not called hamtonas mos, waiting to get your money. You're not due the money until the end of the rental period. And therefore, mishvahu dohochishavi, at the end of the rental period, he owes you 12. That's not ribbis. That's what he owes you. Ah, you're telling him, if you pay me 10 right now, that will be fine. If you pay me up front, then I'm going to discount it to you, and you only have to pay me 10. That's not ribbis. He's not waiting to get 12. He's saying, I'm supposed to get 12. I'm entitled to get 12. But if you pay me now, I'll be happy to only take 10. In other words, Ozule who the Kamozil Gabe. He's actually giving him a deduction in the price. He's saying, you don't have to give me 12. I'll deduct from you 2 for paying me early. And therefore, that's not called ribbis. And that's why by a rental, where the rental payment is only due at the end, it's not called ribbis. As opposed to a sale. Seifa, which is dealing with a mecher, kivon disvinin inu. This is a sale. When is a sale due? Up front. You have to pay right away. He has to pay him right now the 1,000 zuz to buy this field. And therefore, Hilkoch, if he says, if you pay me now, it's 1,000, but if you wait till the Gorin, if you wait 6 months, let's say, then you have to pay me 1,200. Hilkoch agar notale, because he's waiting to get his money at a later point in time. That's called hamtonas mos. That's called waiting to get your money, which is ribbis. And therefore, this is called agar notarlehu, the osur. And that's why this is ribbis, and that's the difference between a sale and a rental. The Gemara continues and says, is there a source for this? On the Rava, Rava says, you can have an asmachta. It's not a real drasha, it's an asmachta. And he says, daku barabadon, he told the rabbis, go and investigate and see if you can find a source for this, an asmachta for this. Rashi says, daku means chibsu acharel, look into it, investigate. Maybe you'll find a source for this. And in fact, they looked and they found it. And they based it on the following pasuk. There's a pasuk that tells us, the pasuk says, if a person has to go, Rachman al-San, he's so destitute, and he has to sell himself as a slave to a guy, so it says, how do you sell yourself? The pasuk says, kisrir shana bishana. You'll sell yourself like a worker who has to be sold every year to work, year after year, shana bishana. Now, it could have just said, kisrir shana. Why did it repeat bishana? It's to come to teach us that schiris shoshana zu, that you're renting something for a year, eino mishtalemes, it's only payable ela bishana acheres, at the end of the year. And that's what we learn out this idea of stiris eino mishtalemes ela besof. This is an asmachta from this pasuk. It's clearly not a drasha. It's just an asmachta. The Rava told the Chacham, go see if you can find a way for us to remember this din, an asmachta from the pasuk. Okay, so that's the machlokes explained why there's a difference between a rental and a sale. Then we quote the last part of the Mishnah that said, "Vim legoren v'shnei masomane aser." But we said by the sale, if you say, "Pay me now," it's $1,000. But if you pay me at the goren, towards the end of the year, at the time that they're putting things into the goren, so then you have to pay me $1,200. And this we said is aser. This is ribis. This is hamtana smos. This is agar notar lehu, and therefore it's aser. I'm Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman now says, but there is something called a tarsha. Rav Nachman says, this tarsha, which I'll explain in a moment what it is, that is permissible. It sounds exactly like the case of Nachar, where he says, if you pay me now, it's $1,000. But if you pay me in 6 months from now, it's going to be $1,200. So Rav Nachman is going to say, but if you do it as a tarsha, it is permissible. Now, what does a tarsha mean? So a number of the Mefarshim bring down different ideas. So the Meiri says, and I quote, he says, Lashon Gove. This is a term, this tarsha means something that's elevated. Kemo shenikru slayim hagvorim, like these slime that are called high slime, they're called tarshe. And he says, the reason for that is, al shem shemale es ha'erich ad laharbe. So therefore, koru tarsha. You make it more than it's worth, and it's called the tarsha. That's what the Meiri says. The Shita Mechubetzis brings down that this lashon of tarsha is from his Rebbe. He says, Hoya omen mori. My Rebbe said, sheperusha, the term tarsha means ribis charash. It means a silent ribis. In other words, it's a permissible form of ribis because you don't mention it specifically. And that opinion of the Shita Mechubetzis fits in exactly to what Rav Nachman says. He says this tarsha is permissible. Now, what is this tarsha of Rav Nachman? So he basically is saying, as you can see in the Rashi, Dibra Maskel Tarsha Shari, he says the person, Ruvain, is selling the item to Shimon. So he's permitted Limkor Schora to sell this merchandise Behamtona, waiting to get the money at a later point in time, more money than he's selling the merchandise for, biyoser midomel, more than it's worth, but he doesn't say, if you pay me now, it's $1,000, but if you pay me then, it's $1,200. Ubuvad shlo yifare shlo. He doesn't specify, if you pay me now, in the yachshav, harei uluchav apachos, that you'll pay less for it. All he says is, eliyim kar stam. He says, I'm selling this, you'll pay me 6 months from now, $1,200. So, b'kach b'kach, leon ploni. In 6 months, so now you pay me $1,200. Rav Nachman says that is permissible because you don't mention right now, it's if you pay me now, it's worth $1,000. And that's, the Shita Mechubetzis says, perusho ribis charesh. It's silent ribis. It's ribis that's not said out loud. He's saying, here's the merchandise. You want it? You pay me $1,200 in 6 months. He doesn't say, well, if you paid me right now, it's only $1,000. So therefore, Rav Nachman says this is permissible. And we'll see on the Amud Beis that we actually paskin like this, Rav Nachman. This is permissible. Albeit, the Gemara now questions Rav Nachman. Eser, Rami Bar Chama, Rav Nachman, V'ami Lo Rav Ukva Bar Chama, Rav Nachman. One of Bar Chama's sons, either Rami or Rav Ukva, said to Rav Nachman, wait a second, our Mishnah seemed to contradict you. Our Mishnah said, Vim Lagorin, if you say right now, it's $1,000. But if you wait till the Gorin, 6 months from now, let's say it's going to be $1,200. Bishnemos Armana, also, our Mishnah seems to go against you, Rav Nachman. So the Gemara gives the answer that I've already told you, Amalei, in the Mishnah, Hasam Kotzlei, because in the Mishnah, Rav Nachman said, he said, pay me now, it's $1,000. Pay me 6 months from now, it's $1,200. That you're not allowed to do. That's Osir. That is real ribis. However, Hacha lo kotzlei. Here he did not say, in the case of Rav Nachman's Tarsha, he did not say, pay me now, it's $1,000. Pay me 6 months from now, it's $1,200. He said, here, I'm selling this item. You can pay me 6 months from now, $1,200, and it's yours. And the person agreed to it. And this is called Tarsha of Rav Nachman, and this is permissible. And in fact, the Gemara is going to paskin on the Amud Beis that this is allowed. On the other hand, we have Amar Rapapa. Rapapa tells us his Tarsha, which we'll call Tarsha Papunoi, which we're going to say we don't paskin like, is as follows. Amar Rapapa. Rapapa says, Tarsha Didi Shari. My Tarsha is also good. Now, what is his Tarsha? So Rapapa is a famous beer maker throughout Shas. Rashi tells us over here, Tarsha Didi Shari. Osa Shechor Tumorim Hoya. Rapapa was famous as a he would take from the dates and he would turn it into beer. This is called date palm beer. So he was a famous beer seller and he was very rich from it, as the Gemara tells us other places, and we'll point out over here as well. And he would go and sell his beer when it was plentiful and at a relatively low price, but he would sell it to people kishar shel Nisan. He would sell it for the price that he would be able to get 6 months later in Nisan, and he would say, that's a higher price, but it's okay. Umamtin lo anisan, to get paid. Now, why was he allowed to do this? This seems to be saying, Rapapa is saying, if you buy it right now, it's worth 1,000, but if you buy a nisan, it's worth 1,200. So how could he do this? So the Gemara says, my timer, why did Rapapa say this was permissible? His tarsha didi is shari, because he says, shichrai, my beer, lo posit. My beer is a very high quality beer, and Rashi says, eino miskalkel. It doesn't get ruined. It doesn't spoil. And therefore, there's no reason for me to sell it now in Tishrei when the prices are low. Yochel latznio at Nisan, Rashi says. I can perfectly keep it until Nisan and get more money for it then. So, shichrai lo posit. I'm not losing anything by waiting to sell it till Nisan. I don't have to sell it now in Tishrei at a lower price. Likewise, I don't need the money. Zuze lo tzrichna. I'm a rich guy, Rashi says. Shani osher. There ain't no dochuk limkor kishar shalachshav. And I'm under no pressure whatsoever to sell it now at a lower price. So since I don't need to sell it right now at a lower price, and in fact, my beer will last 6 months until Nisan, and then I can get the higher price for it. So therefore, I'm allowed to go and sell it now for the higher price. I'm doing him a favor by letting him take it now on credit, and he'll pay me later on. I'm not gaining anything. I could keep it until then and get that price for it then. He wants the beer now, I'll give it to him now. But he has to pay me the amount of money that we get in Nisan. That's not called ribbis, Rapapa says. That's called being a smart businessman and a nice guy. I'm letting him take it now, even though I could theoretically wait till Nisan and then charge him the higher price. No, I'm letting him take the beer now and enjoy it. But he's going to have to pay me the higher price that I would get for it later on in Nisan. And Rapapa says, this Tarsha, his way of doing it, is not a problem and is allowed. Rav Sheshes doesn't like this, and we'll see, we're going to postulate like Rav Sheshes against Rapapa. Amalei Rav Sheshes, Berei de Ravidi le Rapapa. Rav Sheshes, who was the son of Ravidi, said to Rapapa, he says, wait a second, my chazei mar de ko azlis basu didach, you're only looking at it from your perspective. From your perspective, you're saying, I can keep it until Nisan and get my 1,200 for it then. So why should I sell it now when I don't need the money and only get 1,000 for it? So from my perspective, Rav Sheshes tells Rapapa, from your perspective, in Tishrei, it's not called ribbis. But look at it from the other guy's point of view. Zil basa did who? Consider it from his point of view. He's paying you 1,200 because he doesn't have 1,000 right now. If he had 1,000 right now, he would buy it right now from someone else. He wouldn't buy it from you, he'll get it from someone else. But he doesn't have the 1,000 right now, and he wants the beer. So therefore, he's willing to pay a premium to get your beer now, even though he'll have to pay more for it later on. But from his perspective, it's ribbis. It's only worth 1,000 right now, but he's paying 1,200 for it. So he's getting less than he is paying eventually. That's ribbis from his point of view. If he, in fact, had 1,000 right now, he would buy it from somebody else right now. But he doesn't have the money. So hashlo de less luzuzi, because he doesn't have the money. Shakle kiyuk with the lekame. Therefore, he's willing to pay ribbis by having to pay for it 1,200 6 months later in Nisan, because he doesn't have the 1,000 to pay for it right now in Tishrei. So Rav Sheshes says to Rav Papa, yeah, from your point of view, it's not ribbis, but from his point of view, he's paying ribbis, and therefore it's not allowed. And the Gemara, we'll see, on the Amud Beis, is going to paskin against this Rav Papa, like Rav Sheshes said. Finally, the third tarsha that we have is from Rav Chama. Amar Rav Chama, tarsha didi, my tarsha, vadishari. That is certainly good. Now, what is his tarsha? Rashi explains the Ramaska on Rav Chama, and he says, Moche frakmatcha hoya. Rav Chama would sell merchandise. But the way he sold it was as follows. Moche b'mokum hazol, kishar shunimkar b'mokum hayoker. He was in a place where this merchandise was somewhat plentiful, and he would sell it at the price, however, that you would get in a place where it wasn't so plentiful, by supply and demand. Here there's a big supply, so therefore you're going to be able to get less money for it. But when there's a lower supply in places where it's held at a higher premium, you get more money for it. So he would sell it in place A for the price that you could get in place B, which was a higher price. But he didn't charge them right now up front while it was in place A. He allowed them to take it to place B and sell it over there. They would go and take it to the place where the prices were better. V'hu mekabel lulav achrayis. And the critical factor here is Rav Chama said, I'm responsible for it till you get it to place B. So if something happens to it on the road, he was mekabel lulav achrayis derech v'halicha. So if something happened to it in the travel, he would be responsible, not the person that bought it. And they would have the benefit, once it got to place B, where the prices are better, they would then purchase it, so to say, they would then own it, and they could sell it there for the higher price, which is what they were paying Rav Chama for it already, and they would then be able to go, and with that money that they got, do business over there. And then when we returned, it was their responsibility already, and they had to pay Rav Chava when they came back. Since they didn't have achrayis going there, lo have a milva gabayu, achafrak matcha nimkaris. And therefore, they didn't really own it until they were in place B and sold it at the higher price, which is what it was worth in place B. So even though they took the merchandise in place A at the lower price, nevertheless, they didn't own it until they got to place B, which had the higher price, and therefore they could pay Rav Chama the higher price, and this isn't called a ribbis situation. And that's why Rav Chama says, Tarsha didi vadei shari. This is perfectly permissible. Gemara says, why? My taima. Why doesn't Rav Chama have to pay them for the transportation costs? He's getting free transportation from them. Isn't that ribbis? Why doesn't he have to pay them for the transportation to place B? So Gemara says, because nicha luhu deleku birshusi, because they are happy that it's still in my possession, and they're willing to transport it on their dime because they get the benefit of it being owned by me. It still is called Rav Chama's merchandise until they sell it. Now, why is that advantageous? Because the chol hecha, the kol azle, whenever they're going someplace, shavke luhu mirsa, since it's my property still, therefore, they get the tax advantages of it being owned by a Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham didn't have to pay certain taxes. So therefore, they got a tax discount. Shavke lu mirsa. They didn't have to pay certain taxes because it was Rav Chama's property. And likewise, the Naket lu shuka. They also had the advantage that the marketplace is closed. Rashi points out, the bottom Rashi, machrizen, they would make an announcement, shloi adam Rashi limkor ashim kuhem. We want a Talmud Chacham to be able to go back to his learning. So if a Talmud Chacham has merchandise, all the other merchants have to close their stores, aren't allowed to sell the merchandise until the Talmud Chacham uses up his entire stock. And then they can go and sell. So therefore, these people who took Rav Chama's fragmatia, his merchandise, and sold it in place B, they were more than happy to take upon themselves the travel costs because it was still owned by Rav Chama. And therefore, they had the double benefit of not having to pay taxes on it and also getting to sell it ahead of all the other people. And that's why they were very, very happy. And we turn to Samachay Ovid Beis, and that's why this was permissible. So we have three tarshas over here. We had the first tarsha of Rav Nachman, the second tarsha of Rav Papa, and the third tarsha of Rav Chama. Now, the Gemara says, how do we paskin? V'ilchasah ki Rav Chama. We paskin like Rav Chama, that this tarsha of his is permissible. And the top Tosus points out, this is Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Hilchasah nami ki Rav Nachman, b'tarsha. The halacha was not only like Rav Chama, it was also like Rav Nachman. And we only said the halacha is like Rav Chama as opposed to the tarsha of the Papanoi, the tarsha of Rav Papa. As the Gemara says, les hilchasa ki tarsha de Papanoi, which is the tarsha of Rav Papa. Now, that's what the first halacha that we're saying. We pass it like Rav Chama and also like Rav Nachman, not like Rav Papa. That's the first statement the Gemara says. Then the Gemara tells us, the Hilchasa Rabbi Elazar. Then the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar, which we've mentioned already many times. He had a machlokes with Rabbi Yochanan as to whether rib is kitzutza, rib is deraisa, the basin is obligated to go and return it. So if Ruvain incorrectly charged rib is deraisa, kitzutz or ribis, set amount of ribis, I'm loaning you 1,000 and you're going to give me back 1,200, so that is ribis deraisa. So we pass it like Rabbi Elazar, that the basin is obligated to go and take that ribis that Ruvain took from Shimon and returned it to Shimon. As opposed to Rav Yochanan said that even by ribis d'oraisa, you're not obligated to do so. The basin doesn't have the obligation to do so. Everybody agreed that by ribis d'rabbanan, basin doesn't have the obligation to go and take it back from Ruvain and give it to Shimon. Of course, he should do that, but basin can't force him to. And then the third psak of the Gemara is the Hilchasuk Rav Yanai. We pass it like Rav Yanai. What did he say? We had this a few days ago. The Omar, Mali Hain, Umali Demein. We had in the case of these forward contracts where we had said Rav Yanai held as opposed to Rav. Rav disagreed with this. Rav Yanai said it doesn't make any difference whether he gives him the item itself, or he gives him another item. Remember, we had the case of he didn't have the wheat, and he said, I'll give you wine instead. He could give him the wheat, mali hein, or mali demain, or I'll give you the value of the wheat. That is perfectly good. And the Gemara tells us we paskin like Rav Yannai and not like Rav. Okay, we go on to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Mochar lo es asode. If Reuven sells his field to Shimon, v'nasan lo miksas domen. Reuven sold it to Shimon, but Shimon didn't pay the full amount for it yet. He only paid part of the cost of the field. So in this situation, v'omar lo, Reuven says to Shimon, emosai shetirtze havei mos v'tola shelcha. When you pay the rest of the money for the field, you'll be able to go and take this field, and it will be retroactively yours from now. You'll take what is yours. That is not allowed. Usser. The Gemara will explain why it's usser, but basically there'll be a concern who gets to eat the produce from that field during this period of time, because it doesn't belong necessarily to the purchaser. He may not bring the additional money. But if it's eaten by the one who sold it, so then that's going to be ribbis. So therefore, the Gemara will explain. That's why we say that it's also to do this, because right now it's not clear who's the owner of the field. The Mishnah continues and says, Hilvahu al sodehu. If someone gave a loan to someone else, Reuven gave a loan to Shimon, and Shimon gave him the field as a pikadon, as a mashkon, as a security for the field, collateral for the field, the amalo, and Reuven said to Shimon, if you don't pay me for this field within a three-year period of time, at the conclusion of the 3 years, this field will be mine. Now, if they were exactly the same value, then there wouldn't be any ribbis concern. But here, the field is worth much more than the loan. So he lent him $1,000, and the field is worth $2,000. So in this situation, we say that it's not a ribbis concern. We'll have to explain why in the Gemara. It's not a ribbis concern. And Reuven gets the field, even though he only loans Shimon $1,000, he gets the field that's worth $2,000. This was actually carried out. Baisus ben Zonin paskin this based upon the Chachamim's opinion. So we start the Gemara. There's a lot to explain now. We start off by saying, Mi ochel peros. In the first scenario, Reuven sold the field to Shimon. Shimon paid for part of the field, but didn't pay for the entire field. So the question that the Gemara raises, which is why the Mishnah said you can't do this, is who gets to eat the peros? So if Reuven amar mocher ochel peros, Reuven, the one who sold the field, is still entitled to eat the peros. Whereas Rav Anan amar mishalshin es haperos. No, you put the peros aside with a third party. Mishalshin means you put it with a shalosh, with a third party, who will go and carefully watch the produce and then decide ultimately who is supposed to get them, the mocher or loker. As Rashi says, mafkidin oso biyad shalish. You put it in the hands of a third party. It's like an escrow. And im yigmor mechel, Rashi says, if the deal does go through, Shimon pays for the rest of the field. So then it turns out that in fact, Shimon had bought the field from the time that he first gave part of the money. And therefore, yitnim loker, the third party will give the produce that were from this field to Shimon, the purchaser. Bimlo, and if he doesn't go and actually finish off the purchase, so then it never was owned by Shimon, it's still owned by Reuven. And therefore, Yachzir HaMocher Mashekibel V'Toperosom. So Reuven will give back to Shimon the money that he did get, because the sale never went through, so he has to give back that part of the money, but then he'll get the peros, because it really was his field. So that's how we understand Rav Anan. But the Gemara says that there's actually no machlokas between Rav Huna, who said that the mocher eats the peros, and Rav Anan. Now, why is that? The low plea, the Gemara says, because hod the amar l'chi maisis kani, that Rav Huna, who had said that the mocher eats the peros, is because the sale didn't take effect until the full amount has been paid. So even though Shimon paid him, let's say, half of the field's worth, but he didn't pay him the full field. So mocher, Reuven, still owns the field. And that's what Rav Huna said. The mocher gets to eat the peros. Because he says, when you go and pay me the full amount, that's when you'll own the field, from that point. But not from now. Just because you paid for 50% of it doesn't mean that you own it. When you pay the other 50%, then you will own it. So up until then, Rav Huna says that the mocher, Reuven, owns the field, and he gets to eat the peros. Mocher, ochel, peros. As opposed to Rav Anan, when he said that you give it to the third party, Mishalshin es haperos, so Hod Omar, he says, L'chi maisis kini me'achshav. Because in this situation, when Shimon pays the full amount, he paid half originally, but when he pays the full amount, he'll own it retroactively. And therefore, if he owns it retroactively, we have to see. If Shimon pays the full amount, then in fact, Shimon was entitled to the peros from minute one, when he gave the half amount. When he ultimately pays the full amount, then he's entitled to the payrolls. But let's say he never pays for the full amount of the payrolls, so then he's never entitled to the field. So he'll get his money back, but then the Mocher Reuven is entitled to the produce, and that's why Rav Anan says, you go and bring it to the third party, and he'll decide, ultimately, did Shimon own the field then, or does Reuven still own the field, based upon whether the Shimon actually pays the full amount. And that's why the Shlish, this third party, will hold on to it to make sure that there's no ribbis concern. Our Mishnah didn't want to allow that lichatchila because there's too much risk involved. But after the fact, that's what Rav Anan says. You give it to a shlish to hold on to. Now, Tani Rav Safra b'ribis de'ribchia. Rav Safra, who's one of the Amorayim, learned the following brisa that was taught in the Beis Medrash of Ribchia, and it teaches us the following. Pa'amim sheshnei mutarim. Sometimes both Reuven and Shimon are allowed to eat the produce. In a case where Reuven sold the field to Shimon, we'll have to define under what circumstances that was. So sometimes Rav Safra learned in the brisa of Rav Chiya that both the mocher and the lokeach, both Reuven the mocher and Shimon the lokeach, can both eat the produce. They'll split the produce. Sometimes pa'amim sheshnei masurim. Sometimes neither one can eat the produce. Sometimes upamim shamocher mutter, the one who sells it is allowed to eat the peros, lokeach also, but the one who buys it, Shimon, is not allowed to eat the peros, and sometimes vice versa. Upamim shav lokeach mutter, sometimes Shimon, the one who purchases it, is allowed to go and eat the peros, and the mocher, Reuven, is osur. So, these are four different scenarios. When do they apply? So, oni Rava Basrei, after Rav Safra taught this, Rava said, I will explain this braisa from Rav Chiya in the following way. Pa'amim sheshnei mutarim, sometimes it could be that both Reuven and Shimon are allowed to eat from the produce. Under what circumstances is that? The Amar Lei, when Reuven said to Shimon, the Amar Lei, kini kishir zuzach. So if you pay 50% of the field, you're entitled to 50% of the produce. But Reuven then has 50% of the produce still to himself. So in this situation, Reuven gets to eat 50% of the produce, and Shimon gets to eat 50% of the produce. That's the first part of the brisa, pa'amim sheshnei mutarim. Under what circumstances did Rava say that the brisa that Rav Safra taught from the Beis Medrash of Rav Chiya is pamim sheshnei masurim, both of them can't eat it? That's the case of our Mishnah. The Amale, l'chi maisis kini miachshav. When you go and bring the second half, you pay 50%. When you go and bring the second half, then it is yours retroactively from the time that you gave me the first 50% of the cost of the field. Now, in this situation, we don't know. Will he bring it or will he not bring it? If he brings it, so then technically Shimon's the one that can eat it. But if he doesn't bring it, Shimon can't eat it, but Reuven can eat it. So we don't know what's going to happen. So therefore, we don't let either of them eat it until the deal is finally closed. So therefore, this is the scenario, pa'amim sheshnei asur. Now, again, as Rav Anon had pointed out, you could have technically put this in the hands of a shlish, of a third party, and mishal shlenes haperos, but we don't want to do that lechatchila because there's too much potential trouble. So that's the second part of the brisa. The third part of the brisa was pamim mocher mutter, that sometimes Reuven, the seller, is allowed to eat the produce 100%. The lokeach, Shimon, the buyer, is not allowed to eat it at all. Usher. Under what circumstances is that? So Rav explains, this is talking about the Amar Lei. Reuven says to Shimon, the chi maisis, when you go and pay the full amount, then you will own it. But until you pay the full amount, you own nothing. You don't own 50%. You own nothing. When you pay the full amount, then it'll be yours. So therefore, up until the time that Shimon pays the full amount, it absolutely 100% belongs to Reuven. And there's no ribbis concern. There's no any concern. It's Reuven's field. Until Shimon pays the full amount, it's Reuven's field. And therefore, Reuven, the mocher, can eat 100% of it with no concerns whatsoever. And Shimon's not allowed to eat any of it. It's not his field. And finally, the fourth case is pa'amin shalokeach mutu. Sometimes Shimon is allowed to go and eat 100%. He's permissible. Umocherasa. And Reuven can no longer eat from the produce of this field. Under what circumstances is this? The Rava tells us, the Amalei, the deal was, kini miachshav. Reuven says to Shimon, the minute you paid 50% of it, when you paid part of it, you now own this field. Ah, you still owe me 50%. You still owe me the rest of the field. Vizuzai, and that money that you still owe me, leve halvo gaboch. It's a loan. I'm lending you the other 50%. So let's say the field was $1,000. You gave me $500. You now own this field. Ah, you still owe me $500? That's like a loan. So it's as if you paid me the entire $1,000, you now fully own the field, but you owe me $500. And therefore, in this situation, Shimon gets to eat the produce 100%. It's now his field. And Reuven can't eat it anymore because that would be ribis. It's no longer his field. If he would eat the produce, that would be ribis. So that's how Rav explained this brisa from Rav Safra that was learned in the Beis Medrash of Rav Chiya. Now, the Gemara asks, Man Tana Shnei Masurim, according to whose opinion are both of them not allowed to eat it, which Rav had explained was maybe Reuven will in fact still own the field because Shimon never pays him the rest, and therefore it really is Reuven's, and he has the right to eat it. But no, maybe Shimon will pay for the rest of the field, and therefore it really was Shimon's. So therefore, until we know what is going on, neither Reuven or Shimon is allowed to eat it. Who is the author of this? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, Berei de Rav Yeshua. Rav Huna, who is the son of Rav Yeshua, said this can't go in accordance with the Tana, the Lo Rav Yehuda. We learned this opinion of Rav Yehuda in the previous Shiurim, because the E Rav Yehuda, if this was the opinion of the Tana, Rav Yehuda, he says that unless the ribbis is guaranteed, it's not a ribbis concern. He had said, Ho Omar, Tzad Echo Biribis is mutter. If there's no guarantee that it's ribbis. So for example, if Shimon pays the full amount, and Reuven were to have eaten from the produce until he paid the full amount, that would be ribbis, because he got the full amount, plus he got the right to eat the produce. So that would be ribbis. But guess what? Maybe Shimon won't pay the full amount, and Reuven will just return the 50% that Shimon paid, and it will be his produce, because it was his field that was never sold. Then there's no ribbis in that situation. So this is what we call sad echa biribbis. Maybe if Shimon pays the full amount, it is ribbis. But if Shimon doesn't pay the full amount, then it's not ribbis. So Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, holds that in a situation where it's a possibility of ribbis, but it's also a possibility that it's not ribbis, so then it's mutter. So obviously our Mishnah, which said the Shnei Amasurim, cannot go in accordance with the opinion of the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda. Now we continue with the Braisa. Some suggest it's a new Braisa. Mishkein lo bayis. The scenario is that Reuven had lent Shimon, let's say, $1,000. And Shimon said, I will give you as collateral my house. And the house is worth $2,000. Or, Mishkein lo sada. Or, he had said, you lent me $1,000, I will give you my field as a mashkon. And it's worth $2,000, the house is only worth $1,000. So the mashkon is worth much more than the actual amount of the loan. The Amar lo, and Reuven said to Shimon, listen, I lent you $1,000. And he says, L'cheshetirtza l'mochram, if you ever decide that you want to sell this house or that you want to sell this field, so you must sell it to me. Lo timkareim eloli. You have to go and sell it to me, and bidomim halolu. You have to sell it for that $1,000 that I lent you, even though the field is worth much more. So in this situation, also, because that's ribbis, he gave him $1,000, and he's forcing him, if he's going to sell it to him, the field that's worth $2,000 for only $1,000. So therefore, that's also, that's a forward contract. That's a classical case of ribbis, and it will be forbidden. However, if he says, listen, if you ever sell this house or this field, you have to sell it to me for its actual value. So it's worth $2,000. You already pay me $1,000. I'll buy it from you for an additional $1,000, what's called bishaveyan. I will buy it from you for the value that it is. So then mutter, that's not a ribbis situation. He gave him a loan of $1,000, and he's going to buy the house or the field for $2,000. So therefore, that's perfectly the value of it. So the $1,000 that he loaned him, that's the first $1,000, and he'll pay him a second $1,000 to get the house or the field. So that's what the Braisa says. It's not permissible if it's for the same amount of money, because Badami Malolu means he's getting it for ribbis. He's getting it for $1,000 less than it's worth. But if he's getting it bishodeim, it's permitted. Now, who's the author of this part of the Braisa? Mantana Bidomim Halalu Asa. Who says that if he's selling it for the $1,000 price instead of the real $2,000 price, that's Asur? So again, Amr Rafuna Brady Rishua, Rafuna Brady, the son of Rabbi Yeshua, says it can't be the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, the local Rabbi Yehuda, because again, the Rabbi Yehuda, Hamar Tzad Echad B'Ribis is Mutter. Again, Rabbi Yehuda says it's only a Ribis concern if it's Vade Ribis. And here, guess what? Maybe Shimon will not sell the house or the field. So therefore, there's no Ribis concern whatsoever. Reuven lends Shimon $1,000. Shimon will pay him back $1,000 and he'll take back his collateral, the house or the field. On the other hand, maybe he won't. And he'll say, listen, I'm willing to sell it to you. Okay, the deal was that you'll sell it to me for the $1,000, even though it's worth $2,000. Oh, that would be ribbis. But that's not a guarantee. So therefore, it's sad echa b'ribbis. Maybe it'll be ribbis. Maybe it's not. It will depend on what Shimon does. And therefore, the Tana Rav Yehuda says that's not a ribbis concern, unless it's vadai ribbis. It's guaranteed ribbis. Rav Yehuda says it's a ribbis concern. But it's only a possibility that it'll be ribbis, a possibility that it'll not be ribbis. Rav Yehuda says that that's not a ribbis concern. And therefore, this brisa cannot be authored by Rabbi Yehuda. Finally, we continue with this brisa, and we say, mocha lo bayis, if Reuven sold his house to Shimon, or mocha lo sada, or he sold his field to Shimon. The Amalo, and Reuven said to Shimon, lichashiyu li mos, harzirim li. when I get money back, I want to purchase this property back. So then, usher, because in this situation, Shimon is actually getting free usage of the field because it only was a loan. Reuven had sold this field to Shimon. Shimon gave him $1,000, but then Shimon was using the field all this time, and eventually, if Reuven buys it back from Shimon for $1,000, so then it was just really a loan that Reuven had gotten from Shimon, but Shimon had, in addition to getting his money back, he had the usage of the field, so that would be a Reuven's concern, and usher. However, if he had said, L'cheshiyu limos arzirim l'cha, but if Shimon had said, listen, when you get money, then I will be happy to give it back to you, that would be mutter. That would be permissible. Now, what's the difference between the two? So the Gemara will answer and explain this momentarily, but first the Gemara says, whose opinion is this? Mantana. And again, Rav Huna Brei de Yeshua, third time in a row, he says, it can't be the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, the local Rabbi Yehuda, because again, the Rabbi Yehuda, he only says it's ribbis if it's both sides, if it's definitely ribbis. But, Ha'amar Tzarecha, ribbis is mutter. It's only a possibility there'll be ribbis. Guess what? When Reuven sold the field to Shimon and got the $1,000, he may walk away and never have anything to do with Shimon again. Or he could eventually go and buy back the field from Shimon, and Shimon then would essentially have given him a loan of $1,000, and then plus had the rights to the usage of the field. That would be ribbis. But since it's only a possibility that would happen, this can't be the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, we can go back to the question, Maishno Reisha or Maishno Seifa. Again, let's remind ourselves what the Brisa just taught us. The Brisa had said, in the Reisha, if Reuven had sold the house to Shimon, and it was $1,000, and then he tells him, listen, Reuven says to Shimon, listen, I just sold you this house for $1,000, but if I get the money back, l'cheshiyu limos, you must give it back to me. So then, that's usher. Because in fact, he really got a loan from Shimon for $1,000, and Shimon got to use the produce, and that's why that would be a ribbis concern. So I'm really giving you the answer, because we're asking, why in the Reisha is it usher, and Maishna Seifa, why in the Seifa is it permissible? The Seifa seemed to be the same case. Reuven sold the house to Shimon, but here the difference is that Shimon tells him, I'm willing to sell it back to you whenever you want it. And in this situation, it is permissible. If you wish, I will sell it back to you. That's permissible. So again, why is that case allowed? And the first case is not allowed. Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. So I'm a Rava. Rava tells us because, now we have in parentheses the words Reisha, the Lomar Lemi Daite. I don't think that that's wrong, but the critical point is in the Seifa, the Amale Mi Daite. The bottom line is in the Seifa, he was saying it depends upon what you want, since it's totally up to you. Reuven, if you want to buy it back, I'll sell it back to you. But if you don't want to buy it back, the money is yours, and I can't demand you give me the money back. So therefore, it's not a loan, it was a sale. And a sale, Reuven can sell something to Shimon, and then years later, if Shimon wants to sell it to Reuven, Reuven can buy it. We don't say, well, you look at the prices, and it's ribbis, it's a loan. No. In this situation, Shimon has absolutely no ability to force Reuven to go buy it back. Shimon is just telling Reuven, if you choose to buy it back, so then I will sell it back to you. But since it's not required, that's not a ribbis concern, and that's why the Seifa is not a ribbis concern, and the Reisha was a ribbis concern. It's Maisa Shahaya. How Gavra, the once was a person, Reuven, let's call him, the Zabin Le'aru L'Chavri, who sold a piece of land to Shimon. But he sold it without Achrayis, Shlo Be'Achrayis. In other words, normally, the rule is that if the sofer forgot to put in Achrayis, we say that every shtar automatically has Achrayis in it. But here he specifically wrote in that there is no achrayis, meaning that if some creditor of Reuven were to go and demand Reuven pay him the money, and Reuven has no money, but he had that property is leaned to Reuven's creditors. And therefore, when Reuven sold his field to Shimon, he normally would give him achrayis to say, in case somebody goes and grabs the field from me because I owe the money, so then I owe you the money. But here he specifically wrote in, that's not going to occur. I'm selling to you without achrayis. So Reuven sells his field to Shimon without achrayis. But he sees, okay, while Shimon wants to buy this field, he sees that Shimon is unhappy. He sees that Shimon is in fact unhappy. He bought the field, but he's unhappy that he bought it without a chrayis, because he doesn't know what's going to happen if somebody goes and takes it from me because Reuven owed them money. So what does Reuven do? Amalei, Reuven tells Shimon, listen, Amai Atzivis, why are you so sad? You know what? Itarfu la minach. If some creditor of mine comes and takes this field from you, Magbina loch shufra. I will pay you from other fields that I have that are shufra, that are from the best. This is called me idiots, Rashi says. From my best properties that I have. In addition to that, I will pay you back for any shvacha, any shevach that you put into the field. You fertilized the field, you spent $1,000 fertilizing the field, you put up a fence around the field. I'll pay you back for any shevach that you put into the field, plus upeire, any fruits that the field produced that now this other guy took, I will pay you for them as well. So he tells him, I will go and pay you from the best of my fields if somebody takes it from you. I will pay for any improvements that you put into the field, and I will pay you for any produce that you lost from the field. Now this clause that Reuven added, that I will magbina lo shufra shivach upeiri, was after the deal had been concluded. So does it have any halachic weight or not? So Amema says, we turn to Samach Bavam and Aleph, it has no weight whatsoever. Pitume mile bi'amu. This fattening up, right? Yisrael was known as a pitum, right? He fattened up the calves for Avodah Zarah. So, pitume mile, ein elu elo divrei tanchumim bi'alma lefate mislibo. It was to fatten up his heart. It was to make Shimon feel good. But there is absolutely no obligation upon Reuven to go do any of the things that he just said. Now, the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Ashi l'Amemar. Rav Ashi said to Amemar, wait a second. Time am I? Why are you saying that there is no obligation on Reuven to do any of these three things that he said? To pay him from the idiots of his fields, to go pay him for the shevach, and to go and pay him the produce. Why? Kiva de lokeach boil esnuye. Who should have been the one to make this statement? It should have been Shimon, who says, I'm not buying this unless you do that. And therefore, v'hacha mocha komasni, it was Reuven who said it out of the goodness of his heart that I'll add this afterwards, and therefore, it wasn't the binding contract, because it wasn't written into the contract. He'd written lo achrayis, there's no achrayis over here, and therefore, amris, therefore we say, pitume mile bi'amu. This is purely just a pitume mile. It's just to fatten up the deal. It's just to make him feel good, but it has no halachic significance. Now the Gemara asks, elo masnisa diktonim. But wait a second, in the brisa that we just brought down, it said, l'cheshiyu l'cha mos, asu l'cha. Reuven had sold the field to Shimon, and Shimon had said out of the goodness of his heart, L'cheshu l'chamos, if you get money, I will voluntarily go give it back to you. Achzi l'cha. And we said that was mutter. It's not considered ribbis because this wasn't a binding obligation. And therefore, if it had been a binding obligation, then Reuven had to go and buy it back, then it would have been ribbis because Shimon had the right to use the field during this time. And we had said, the mocher who deboil es nuye. It should have been the mocher who demanded this, that if I want to buy it back, I can. However, the mocher lo asne, the mocher didn't make this. Reuven didn't make this condition. It was the lokeach, the purchaser, Shimon, who said out of the goodness of his heart, komasne, that he'll sell it back to him if he wants it. Now, the Amrinan, and we had just explained, Maishna Reisha, Maishna Sefer, why was the Reisha no good and the Sefer was good? Because we had said, the Amar Rava, Sefer, the Amar Lemi Daite, because in the Sefer, he did it on his own free will. But if you're telling me on his own free will, it's Pitume Mili Bi'almahu, so then, Taima, the Amar Lemi Daite, it's only because he specifically said he was going to do so, and not that it was Pitume Mili Bi'almahu. Implication being, Holo Amar Le Midaite, if he didn't say I'll do this out of my own free will, then in fact, Lo Amrina Pitumi Mila Biyamahu, then we wouldn't have said it was just words that he was doing to make him feel good. So therefore, this whole idea that it's Pitumi Mila Biyamahu doesn't seem to fit. So Gemara says, no. Amalei, Amemah says back to Ravashi, no. It says, if he said it, Nase Kimandi Amalei Midaite Itmar. It's as if he said it out of his own free will. And in fact, it had no binding status to it, because he was just doing it to make him feel good. So that really was what happened. Whether he said it or not, he was only doing it over here to make him feel good. And therefore, there is no kasha over here, and that is, in fact, pitume mila bi'amahu. He doesn't have to do it, and that's why it's not a ribbis concern. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shiur.